Good day, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Liberty 2 Degrees pre-close call. All participants will be in listen-only mode. There will be an opportunity to ask questions later during the conference. If you should need assistance during the call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero. Please note that this call is being recorded. I would now like to turn the conference over to Mwisho Nene. Please go ahead.
Thanks, Claudia. So, good morning all. Trust you and your families remain safe and warm during this period. We've had about 13 weeks of lockdown, and I think many of us have adapted to the new normal. However, what remained uncertain was how well tenants had been adapting, particularly those in the non-essential spaces. I'm joined here by Emilia and Jose, who will be one of the first management teams to provide a full update with post-COVID-19 figures. We will obviously allow for Q&A after the presentation. However, we will need to conclude the entire call by about 10:50 at the latest, just due to prior commitments. With that out of the way, please go ahead, Emilia.
Thanks so much, and good morning, everybody. Thank you very much for joining us today. I know we are competing for time with the Governor of the Reserve Bank this morning, so we appreciate you listening in into our call. As Mish says, this is our pre-close investor update ahead of our close period that commences on Monday. In these times, the safety, security, and well-being of our customers, our tenants, our service providers, our people, and all our other stakeholders as our investors remain our top priority as we deal with the impact of COVID-19. Our focus on implementing strategies that position the business first for stability and sustainability, and secondly, for growth within the new future of retail, remains top of mind. Our sincere thanks and gratitude go to our people, our service providers, and all those on the front line in our malls for their commitment and support over this time. In line with the government's guidance, our malls partially opened on 27 March with only essential services trading for that for the 5-week period. On 1 May, a number of stores opened as part of the Level 4 conditions, and about just over 70% of the GLA have since returned to trading. Given the differences in tenant mix, the Promenade benefited from 78% of the tenants trading. And Nelson Mandela Square, which holds a very high proportion of restaurants, currently only has 18% of the tenants trading, and we'll talk a little bit more about that. During Level 3, that starts on the 1st of June, we anticipate that approximately 91% of our tenants will be back up and trading. I'm going to hand over to Jose to talk us through the capital management and performance update.
Good morning, everyone. I think we are in the fortunate position of having a very lowly geared balance sheet. Going into analyzing our position going forward post the pandemic and what we expect to happen for the balance of the year, we had put some interim facilities and additional liquidity facilities in place. You'll recall at the end of last year, our LTV was around 16%. We had about 1.65 billion in debt against a 10 billion rand asset portfolio. We, during the first quarter of this year, increased that by a further 200 million, which took our LTV to about 18% at those values. Our ICR at current values and current income projection was about 4.39 times cover. Our hedge ratio of the total debt is about 66%, and we had guided previously that we like to keep our hedge levels at about 75%. We are in a falling interest swap curve environment, so we are monitoring that. The duration of our debt and hedges overall is about 2.6 years as at today. We had done various stress testing and scenario planning around what the impact of COVID-19 may be on our portfolio for the remainder of the year. And we had, as a cautionary measure, implemented a further 300 million RCF facility with one of our banks, and it's important to note that that has been secured at similar margins that we had been able to achieve on the balance of our debt portfolio. And it's also a five-year RCF facility at term debt margins, which was relatively good for our portfolio. In terms of our valuations going forward, we do expect our valuations to be impacted by the pandemic when we release our mid-year results. We have been in discussion with various valuers and market participants, and we expect the metrics to be more conservative and for growth assumptions going forward to be more conservative or down as well. We are, as you are aware, have been participating with the property industry group in engaging tenants to seek an overall alignment for what relief the property industry could offer to tenants that are in trouble. Those guidelines are guidelines and not binding on the parties, and where we are now is in bilateral negotiations with all of our tenants for what relief we can offer. As you can expect, some of the tenants are more severely impacted than others, and some are more relevant to our portfolio in terms of the mix that we want. And we are constantly evaluating what mix is appropriate within the assets going forward, and in terms of considering what impact the pandemic may have on trading activity over the next while. We do still engage our industry peers in terms of guidelines, and we do engage the retail sector more broadly in terms of the impact and their plans for coming out of the pandemic. Our plan is to get our malls up and trading as fast as possible, but also to keep the environment sustainable and to have rental levels that are ultimately sustainable for both us and the tenants going forward. So we have looked at the extent or estimated impact on our tenants, and are currently engaging with them in terms of what rental relief we can offer, with a particular focus on the SMMEs in our portfolio. In terms of our collections in April was 38% and 45% in May. That is on full billings in our portfolio and doesn't include any impact of discounts issued. We'll be better place to assess our collections, I guess, when we announce our mid-year results. Those collections have been impacted by delays in negotiations, but our approach has been to not hastily conclude these things, but to rather take a more pragmatic approach, and these negotiations do become easier as tenants are opening up for trade. There are particular tenant risks that we remain focused on. We obviously are looking very closely at our arrears position and the tenants' credit standing and looking at their operations, etc. And our teams are talking to our tenants basically almost every day at the moment. Particular tenants, you would have all seen Edcon going to business rescue. The business rescue practitioner has proposed a turnover-based rental while they go through this process. The process has just started, and you would know or would have seen, I guess, from market communications that they are looking to sell parts of that business or some of the lines. We currently have about 3.5% exposure to Edcon in our portfolio on GLA as at the end of March. We have an investment in Edcon currently carried at 17.5 million rand, and we would probably look to impair that when we release our mid-year results. In terms of other tenants that we watch closely, Massmart is one of them. We have about 2% exposure by GLA across the portfolio. We only had the one Dion Wyatt store at Sandton City, which was a pop-up store and at least was expiring in any event. We have identified one or two tenants that we are talking to already in terms of replacing them at Sandton City. And that will reduce our exposure to Massmart at about 1.9%, which we feel is a comfortable level still for that group. You would have seen in the press that Prada has decided to leave South Africa. I think it was more, or we feel it was more a decision around the country than around the mall specifically. But that space is becoming available, and we are currently looking at options for cutting it up and introducing some other options or further luxury brands into that space. In terms of foot count in our portfolio, obviously as we went into lockdown, foot count fell off a cliff. We did provide some data in the update that we had put out to the market. There were still, leading up to the lockdown, positive signs in the portfolio for increasing foot count and increasing trading density. Obviously that has significantly declined in the lockdown period thereafter. The year-to-date foot count is 30.6% down compared to the comparative period last year, and weekly foot count has returned to about 46% to where we would have seen it last year. Currently, there are a lot of, I guess, anomalies in the data, SASSA payments, when lockdown has occurred, when lockdown has moved from 5 to 4 to 3, is impacting food counts. So it's not a normalized shopping pattern that we can comprehensively compare to prior periods. But it does look like as we are coming out of lockdown that we will reach normalized levels at some stage during the year. We had provided some annualized density trading growth figures for the portfolio leading up to the end of March. Those are still showing positive signs. They have obviously been impacted negatively as we went into the pandemic and people started shopping less, although in certain essential items, the trading density growth was actually significant. But overall, the growth has been muted as we enter this environment, and we do expect an overall poorer performance this year, but some recovery into the years thereafter. Our leasing activity, we've had a small amount of leasing in the first quarter, obviously all of it happening before lockdown, but we've managed to renew about 8,900 square meters of space in the portfolio at still relatively good rates, not significantly negative reversions. Offices remain a small part of our portfolio, but come in under even more pressure as we enter this difficult period. Our vacancy rates are still below the SAPOA averages. We have seen less of an impact on office rentals than we have seen in retail rentals as a consequence of the lockdowns. But we have in our portfolio improved the vacancy slightly during this last while. The hospitality section of our portfolio, the hotels that remain closed. As you were all aware, we had changed our leasing structure with Soho during the course of last year, and that actually showed good promise the first 2 months of this year and the last quarter of last year. That came to an abrupt end at the beginning of March as activity just stopped, and the hotels and the convention center are currently closed. The NPI of the hotel portfolio as a component of our overall portfolio NPI was 4.3% for 2019, so that gives you an indication of the level of impact. We are chatting to Choco on a weekly basis and will update at our mid-year results for what the plans are, but for the moment we expect those hotels to remain closed well into the third quarter of this year. I would like to then hand back to Amelia to give us some feedback for strategic update.
Thank you very much, Jose. The COVID-19 impact has forced us to reimagine and reprioritize our strategic building blocks, which underpins the success and the future-proofing of our assets. Yesterday morning, I was on a call with the head of Italy's post-COVID-19 task force, Vittorio Colao, and he shared some lessons with the business leadership community on how to restart the economy. His main message centered around four things. He said that reimagine without boundaries or constraints. He also said business travel are gone forever. He spoke about the importance of the flexible, modern IT system and infrastructure that can adjust quickly. And his message for leadership was that it is important that we be with our people, not just there for them. And I think that is important for us and align with the strategic imperatives that we have been driving in our business through this time. Through our smart spaces building blocks, we recently developed an Amazon Web Services dashboard, which aggregates various data sources that we have into a single view and really provide us with extraordinary insights for our clients, our tenants, and our service providers. We will be adding additional data sources onto this platform during the course of 2020, and it will assist us to have better management information and giving some of that back to those that need to use it to improve their businesses. It has been evident during this pandemic that there's been the necessary shift to online purchasing whilst physical retail has been partially shut down. Our Smart Spaces building block aims to accelerate the roadmap that we had for the last year to create a seamless interaction between the between digital and physical retail. Our other key focus area, which remains unchanged, is our focus on moving our entire portfolio to a net zero waste status by the end of 2020 and the elimination of plastic bags, balloons, and plastic straws, etc., in our mall environments. Our building blocks are all underpinned by safe spaces. Safe spaces is our focus on the safety of our customers, tenants, and service providers in our mall environments. Safe spaces has never been more relevant given the current circumstances, and our malls have put various safety measures in place to ensure that our environments remain open and trading. As part of the response to COVID-19 and the challenging retail environment, LTD focused over the last period on creating tomorrow to establish loyalty and trust with our shoppers and to redefine our retail spaces. In addition, there are a number of initiatives that we are working on to position the business for the step change towards bringing online retail into these physical environments. Despite a gradual easing of the lockdown restrictions, we expect the pandemic to impact our performance for the remainder of 2020 as levels of uncertainty continue to impact the economic conditions and, importantly, consumer confidence. As a result of this uncertainty, the full impact on distributions and valuations cannot be accurately determined at this time, and the distribution guidance for 2020 has been withdrawn, as you saw on our previous voluntary updates at the end of March. As Jose mentioned, the business remains well capitalized. We are committed to continue our contributions to society, personally, and through the business. We are holding hands with our tenants and our other stakeholders so that we can position ourselves to all step forward together when the economic environment improves. The company enters into a close period on Monday, on the 1st of June, and our interim results for the 6 months will be released on SENS on Monday, 27th of July. We will hold a virtual presentation on that day to take you through it. The next 6 months will continue to consist of fast-paced changes that the team will adapt to with agility and care. Our leadership keeps their eyes open for opportunities while we continue to build on new practices that we put in place during this period. The most important thing for us is to remain focused on our core capabilities that sit at the heart of LTD. Those things that we know we do well, and for us to remain disciplined about executing the basics consistently. The months that will follow will be challenging. We have no doubt about that. But we believe that the ability to see it through for our team is by continuing to hold our nerve and to act with humanity. Now, more than ever before, the responsibility as leaders and our business remains to that of looking after the environment that we have been entrusted with and also the money that we are looking after on behalf of all our clients and investors. The last 2 months, we have been ruthlessly fighting for our business to ensure its survival into the future and also for the health and wellness of all our people. The world continues its life and its beauty, and I think the world had a message for us during this time that was very clear. The air, earth, water, and skies are fine without us. When we go back, we do need to remember that we are the world's guests and not its masters. I would like, on behalf of the LTD, wish you and all of your families health, safety, and warmth as we all reimagine our way into creating tomorrow. Thank you.
Thanks, Amelia and Jose. That was a very concise and, you know, informative update. Claudia, can you please just remind the listeners about the question process?
Okay. If you would like to ask a question, please press star, then 1 on your touch-tone phone or on the keypad on your screen. If you decide to withdraw the question, please press star, then 2 to remove yourself from the list. Again, ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question, please press star, then 1. We'll pause to see if there are any questions.
So, Claudia, maybe while we wait for those questions, I'll just start off with one. So in recent updates, right, and other SENS announcements, you've seen and been told that some of the major clothing retailers have been holding back on their rent, right? And I'm trying to figure out if this means that there's, you know, some potential upside to the rental collection figures that you guys have disclosed from April and May. And, you know, if these discussions with the PI group are being successful, perhaps more collection perhaps more color, sorry, in the collections.
Thanks for the question. We have been working very much together with the PR group to finalize the negotiations with specifically the large 5 clothing retailers. And those have been fruitful discussions and have been in the spirit of coming up with joint solutions and agreements that will assist us to step forward with them. In the last week, we have reached agreement with a number of the large 5, and those billings will now take place, and with their June statements, those payments will come through. It's mostly in line with what we had in the property industry group guidelines, and we are comfortable that we've landed in a good place that specifically is fair and equitable for both property owners and those tenants.
Okay, awesome. Bundy, do you have anything else to ask?
Yeah, Amelia, just quickly, and Jose, you can probably add to this. So I'm assuming the 38 and 45% number does exclude all the big textile / clothing retailers. Maybe you can elaborate on that. And then outside those retailers, anyone else that you have not collected from that you're restructuring some sort of relief package that will show a better percentage of collections by the time you reach June? And maybe from Jose's perspective, I mean, any color around valuations or discussions on valuations that you've had recently? I'm assuming valuers will find it difficult to actually measure the impact of COVID in their parameters, especially if, you know, they're using DCF or income capitalization method. Just your sense around whether by the time they show the numbers in June, you think they'll be taking a material impact of COVID structurally in the evaluation method looking forward when you report your numbers in July. Just your sense, and maybe how are they thinking about it from your perspective? Thank you.
I'll take the first part of the question on the retailers, and then Jose can deal with the valuation piece. Bundy, I think it is probably unrealistic to expect that 38% for April will increase significantly. As I said, these large retailers, the arrangements with them will come through, and those additional collections will be passed through. But most of them have already paid their utilities and the like. So that I don't see that increasing substantially. There will certainly be an increase, but not substantially. The May collections will increase substantially because we had, as we said earlier, between around 60 and 70% of the GLA trading, and that certainly is not reflected yet in the collections numbers. So there's a little bit of a lag on that, and we will certainly see that number increasing. I think it is important not to compare us with other counters that have significant industrial and office holdings. Around 85% of our exposure is to retail, and this has been the sector that has been most impacted together with the hospitality sector.
Bundy, on the valuations, we have been in discussions with our valuers and maybe more specifically JLL because they've got a more global view and wider presence than South Africa.
Okay.
So they have indicated to us, and this is in discussions, okay, so it's not firm, obviously for mid-year valuations and for valuations over the next while, they are going to expand their disclaimers for what reliance can be placed on valuations given the environment. So that's just an indication of the level of uncertainty even within the valuation practices. They are going to look for hard evidence of renegotiated rentals in in-force leases. Okay. Naturally, what they are saying is that they will continue to use the discounted cash flow methodology that they've previously done, but they would adjust those cash flows for lease negotiations that you've actually reduced your rentals for. They do expect negative reversions over the next while to last, and specifically see negative growth for the next year into next year, with positive growth only probably returning in 3 years from now. Anecdotally, they did indicate that the impact on long-term valuations was overestimated at the last financial crisis. At the time of the crisis, what people thought was going to be the impact on valuations was more severe than what actually then transpired. So they are going to take a longer-term view. They do expect a negative impact, specifically moving some metrics, and they think the forward yields on portfolios such as ours should be negatively impacted. But that's just the views that we've gotten from them so far. We've started our valuation process for mid-year, and we'll obviously update with our results.
Okay, thanks for that.
Thanks, Jorge. Claudia, do you have any questions on the line?
Yes, we do. The first question comes from Nes Chetty from Standard. Please go ahead.
Hi, Emilia. Hi, Jose. Just a question on scenarios that you mentioned there. I mean, what type of scenarios are you sort of running for the remainder of the year to get your budgeted numbers? I know you've got an idea of what rental collections were, I mean, the previous 2 months, and you can use that as maybe a sounding board for assumptions for the remainder of the year. My concern more lies with, I mean, that do we normalize to numbers pre-COVID, or do we build in some buffer for the impact of COVID, plus also that, I mean, we could be facing a deep recession which will impact rental collections? And the second part was maybe just on the valuations as well. I know yours is a differentiated portfolio, but we've seen some of your peers that have super regional centers in terms of their assumptions, movement in cap rates up by a percent. In your discussion with the valuers, and I think you alluded to it now, do you think that's maybe too an extreme an outcome given how you see the remainder of the financial year panning out and potentially after that?
Desi, how's it? I think there's one important distinction one must make between April and the balance of this year, okay? When one has a lease agreement, you can enforce the lease agreement to your tenant. April was a case, a difficult legal position because you couldn't give them occupation. Now, landlords would argue they did have occupation even though they couldn't trade. Tenants argue that they did not have occupation because they couldn't trade. But their goods were still in the stores and still being stored. and protected by the security on site, and the premises was kept clean, etc. So that is kind of the principles that guide the negotiation as far as April is concerned. For May, if a tenant is trading, then the landlord has the right to collect a full rental under the lease agreement. From a pragmatic perspective, though, the negotiation obviously is impacted by the fact that tenants are restricted in the extent of their trading for a while, and they are being restricted by how much people can be in the store, and et cetera, et cetera. So most of the guys have opened in May, as you would have seen from our update, and we expect certain tenants to be impacted for a lot longer, like the restaurants, the fast food category, the hotels, etc. While the guy is in lockdown, I think what one can realistically expect is just the recovery of your rates and the utilities that they are using, and some kind of storage charge. I mean, your guess is as good as ours for when the restaurants are going to be able to trade again, and if they are opening for trade, what the impact on their trade will be. But we expect that to be a difficult situation, probably for the remainder of the year. In terms of the balance of the tenants, obviously we need to look at, is it worthwhile to lose a tenant versus keeping a tenant in occupation and readjusting their rentals if you see that their business is in trouble. And you would have seen, obviously, Edgar's as a case in point, where we have known for a while that they are in trouble, and there are a broader spectrem of retailers that are, I guess, are facing more difficulty now. We look at their credit positions like everybody else, and we look at what alternative use we can find in the centers, and that also informs the approach that we take in these discussions. While the lease is enforced, though, we can enforce our rentals, and as they come up for renewal, that will be impacted by the trading environment and the density that tenant is actually doing. And we expect for the remainder of this year that those densities are going to be in a difficult position or negatively impacted. We have a conservative board. So our scenario planning has gone from a normalized environment within 3 months to no rentals for the remainder of the year, and we've assessed what the impact of that is on our business overall. Now, we don't think that the severest case scenario is the one that will play out. And even as we are now moving out of lesser restrictions in the lockdown period, we are seeing a return that is fairly positive given the expectation. I think 4 weeks ago, everybody would have thought that the case right now would have been worse than what it actually is. But we have planned for a number of scenarios, and we think the middle of the road base case is probably where it's going to land.
The next question comes from Jonathan Kinnear from Coronation Fund Managers. Please go ahead.
Hi, Amelia and Jose. Thanks very much for your time. Just two quick questions from me this morning. The first is, are you seeing any acquisition opportunities in the marketplace, or do you still feel that pricing expectations across the board are still unattractive? And then kind of a follow-up question to that is, obviously, there's a lot of uncertainty with the valuation process going forward in light of COVID, but is it your kind of expectation that we will start to see a bit more of a differentiation in the cap rates used for, in your opinion, quality centers versus lower quality centers? Thanks.
Jonathan, we have seen, I think the focus over the last while has been less on people's asset disposals and activity than maybe it was leading up to this period. We haven't yet seen a significant shift in valuations. You would have seen the announcements in the sector. I haven't seen anybody speak to any valuation impact apart from saying there should be some conservatism around it and we do expect an impact. I think as we start publishing results over the next while, hopefully we will see some correction. There definitely needs to be, in our view, a correction and a wider differentiation between assets that are performing and those that are lesser performing. But to answer your question, we haven't seen a significant or sufficient movement in our view as yet.
Jose, if I may come in there, it's Bundy here again. The question I often get in the market is obviously, given your strong balance sheet, And probably the need for scale and potentially having to grow this business and attracting a much wider investor base, you know, and given where the share price is. I mean, some companies have been hammered 60-70% year to date. Is this something you guys have looked at for potential deals in the listed spaces?
Absolutely. And we continue to monitor the market. And as you all know, we've been talking to various counters for a long time just to see what possibilities exist. But I think where we stand right now, Bundy, is that the first priority for our board is the sustainability of our current business. With the level of uncertainty that existed over the last month or two, the focus has been how do we come out of this? How do we protect the income stream that we do have rather than being focused on expanding that income stream? Okay. But we aren't blind to the fact that this environment also presents opportunity. And I think as things stabilize, as we get a little bit more certainty for our expectations of our trading levels will resume and whether we are going to go into an environment where lockdown gets eased and I guess the pandemic gets contained, or whether we are going to be in an environment where you are shifting out of level 3 back to level 4, back to level 5 in certain areas. That level of uncertainty has significant impact. I think if we are in an environment where it goes to level 3, kind of remains there, goes to level 2, and there's a downward trajectory in the restriction and an upward trajectory in the trading, then we will revisit the opportunities in the marketplace.
Got you. Thanks.
Nicole, anything else?
The next question comes from Michael Swingler from Oasis Group Holdings. Please go ahead. Michael, you may proceed with your question. If your phone is on mute, please unmute your phone so that you may pose your question. Unfortunately, we still cannot hear anything from Michael's line. Ladies and gentlemen, just one final reminder. If you would like to ask a question, please press star, then one. If you would like to ask a question, please press star, then one. Moisha, we do not have any questions in the queue. Do you have any questions?
Sure. I've got some questions that have come in via mail and WhatsApp. There's some kinds of asking about your hospitality and specialized exposure, and if you guys have any initiatives to limit the vacancies in these spaces.
So we don't have any vacancy in those spaces. I mean, the convention center obviously fully occupied. Our specialized assets, which is also the hospital, fully operational, and the hotels are under lease. But as you know, they are not able to trade. Not the hospital. The hospital is very much able to trade, but the convention center and hospitality and hotels are not able to trade. And kind of working together with them to get them back up as some of the first ones that will go back. The convention center, interestingly, has got bookings for as from when they are able to open. So every month the government pushes that out, they will just roll that on. But it's not as if the bookings have dried up and gone away. They actually are almost fully booked for the period in advance, but obviously we have to wait for that to return to approval.
Okay.
To return to trading, I mean.
Yeah, maybe just an adcon. I mean, there's a lot of noise in the market, and not just adcon related, I suppose, Amelia, but the whole talk of turnover-based rentals is obviously resurfaced, and most landlords have come out and say, no, that's not going to work. But I'm just thinking if the business rescue process comes back and say, okay, fine, and maybe, you know, let's go the turnover-based rental type of route. And just your thinking there around that and the dangers of setting that precedence in the market, given the environment that we're operating in. And then there's a question that came through my email around Eastgate. There's some concerns about Eastgate's trading. Obviously, trading density growth has gone backwards compared to other assets, if you like. Just your plans around that and curbing the impact of oncoming potential vacancies given the market that we're operating in.
So just As you rightly say, we are also not in support of turnover-based rental agreements. We do use the turnover information that we have at hand, especially our CCO ratios, to determine how sustainable or not sustainable a tenant's rental is, and we have explained that many times in the past. But to have turnover only leases, you know, the impact on valuations are severe, and that's certainly not something that we are going to entertain. Itcon is an interesting and uncertain scenario at the moment for everyone in terms of the business rescue process. We will see the business rescue plan probably around the second week of June, and we have to wait for that to come out. I think everyone will be happy to take anything they can get out of this post-commencement funding, because as we indicate in our paper, the pre-business rescue arrears position will not be funded by post-business rescue commencement funding, and you know, if we can get something out of them, we will fight as hard as we can to get as much as possible. We've got deep experience in large business rescue issues because we have been through Statifit, and everything that we learned in that Statifit's process, we'll certainly be applying it here so that we get the best outcome for our shareholders in this process. We do know that whoever is after buying some of the Itcon businesses would very definitely need our leases to be in there, because they are some of the good profit-making stores. Mm. We will reserve the right to take space back that suits us and that allows us to improve our environment, though. On Eastgate, yes, Eastgate turnover has gone slightly back, but it's mostly impacted by Itcon, actually, where, as you know, Itcon gave back the one floor. We have re-tenanted that, and those tenants only started trading around November of last year. And we will monitor Eastgate closely. There's a lot of initiatives in place to improve that, and we believe that it will trade through this. But it's impacted by the environment like everywhere else, and we are putting in place the different processes that we have to ensure that we create a sustainable tenant base there. And that is important for us to see that through and make sure that the tenants can trade in a sustainable way, can continue to trade, and that we minimize vacancies as best as we can.
Okay, thanks, Amelia.
Sure. Claudia, any more questions?
Misha, we do not have any other questions. Do you perhaps want to conclude, and do you have any closing comments?
Yeah, I suppose if there's nothing else, and due to time constraints, I think I'd like to let Amelia conclude. Any closing remarks there?
Yeah, thanks, Misha, and thank you very much for hosting the call. Thank you for everyone and your questions. You're welcome to send anything else if you have further details. And we will continue to hold our nerve every day, do the best as we can, and work towards creating a new tomorrow that we can continue to do what's best in the interest of South Africa.
Awesome.
Ladies and gentlemen, that concludes today's conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines.